Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. We have a returning guest with us, Dr. Yogesh Shah. He is a medical doctor. He also has a master's in public health. And recently, he was on a Zoom conference talking to Iowans all across the state about, yes, COVID-19 and the issues that they are bringing to the fore. And I saw that, and I said, you know, we've just got to invite Dr. Shah on so that we can talk about science. What's going on? What do we know across the state of Iowa, and what is he hearing? And by the way, you should know that Dr. Shah's specialty tends to be in memory and geriatric medicine. Dr. Shah, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for inviting me.
These are really troubling times for people all over the United, all over the planet. As we try to gauge what COVID-19 is doing, we've heard lots of stories. We've heard stories that young people are naturally immune. We've heard that older people with pre-existing conditions are very susceptible. We hear that if you're young and you have conditions that this could be problem. And now we're talking about infants and some type of, what is going on, doctor?
Yes, Mike, a lot of things are happening as we get to understand this new condition. That's why it's called pandemic, that it's not only all over the world, but it's also new to humans. That's why the name, the name itself, Michael, the name which means COVID-19, comes from coronavirus disease 19. And it's a novel disease, meaning we have been, our human race has been exposed to the family coronavirus. And this is the seventh virus we have. The others are four are common. They cause common cold, but the other two we have heard about. Luckily, in the U.S., we were not affected as much over the SARS and disease called MERS. They are part of this disease. So what we are hearing, it's all a lot of information because as we get to know, that's one. And then for me as a physician, as a public health student, master's of public health, and as a chief medical officer at Broadlands, what I need to do is to decide amongst all the information, what's the right source and what's the right information, and how do I send and pass on that information to my physicians, my nurses, my staff, my patients, and my family. So yeah, a lot has been happening. What I can tell you, the questions I have been hearing more and the questions on AARP talk was a lot about caregiver and a lot about testing and how do we test. So let me, if you're okay, let me start with as a caregiver first and then talk about what's current, what can we do about testing for COVID for ourselves.
Please.
So as a caregiver, my stand as a geriatrician, as a dementia doctor has been that it's like flying in the plane. And if you are told that you need oxygen, something has gone wrong, they tell us every time, they tell us, put your own oxygen mask first before you take care of your neighbor, your family member. Same thing applies to taking care of caregiver for COVID patients. That if you have a loved one, your elderly parents in nursing home or at home with COVID, make sure you take care of yourself first, both physically, mentally, and then help your loved one for their own care. And care meaning what? Isolation is a big issue. Social distancing we need to follow. That doesn't mean that we are socially not, cannot be connected. Like what we are doing. We are talking on the phone, on the audio, or we can do be Zoom or away from the person, but from distance. And that's important also, because for elderly, that touch is lost somewhat, but that can be replaced through regular contact. And using technology as much as we can use, either through phone or video and others, that will be very helpful. So let me switch the gears and talk about testing, which has become a big, big part of for our state. And it's a huge part for me as a hospital. There are two different ways we can test the effect of virus in our body for COVID. One, we call it as a PCR, a polymerase chain reaction test, where we can actually see if the virus, which is RNA structure, is present or was present in my body or not. And that is currently done through the nasal swabs at most of the places. Pretty soon, and actually at Broadlawns, we're going to start today, will be also through saliva. So if I just gave tiny couple of drops of my saliva, there is a way now to check whether that saliva part has any RNA for the coronavirus.
And Doctor, I think Doctor Shaw, is that a new test? I've not heard of that before.
No, you're right. It's a new test. We are not advertising yet till we prove a few patients today, and then there'll be a press release coming out soon. So you are lucky one. Your audience is the first time I'm even mentioning that this is on the way, and it's going to work out for not just for Broadlawns, but for our larger community at hand. So this will be, why does it help? First, it's another way to check. That second, a lot of people are hesitant about getting that long swab in their nose. They might have heard that it hurts, and it's supposed to hurt. If it's done right, it should be going deep enough in the nose. So hopefully this second way to test would be a little bit easier, better, and give us access and extra numbers. So that's one, the testing through actual virus, through RNA. The test is called PCR. Test Iowa is a great concept, but as many of our audience and listeners might have heard, it's its own delay and glitches, which hopefully will be taken care soon, so many more Iowans can be tested. The second way we can test for this COVID infection is that once, if I was exposed to this virus, and if I am now recovered, my body is supposed to produce antibodies towards this new virus. And that we can check now through blood test, and we call it IgG check, IgG of COVID virus. And that can be done also, but that's not diagnostic. It just checks that whether I was exposed or not. And if I was exposed, the good news is, Michael, on this topic, that if I have IgG, if somebody has IgG in their blood for this COVID virus, they can be donor for plasma. Hmm. But an exciting news about this donor for plasma is it's like gold. It's like treatment for patients who are severely sick and in ICUs at different hospitals. And we have at Broadlawns used this CCP, the plasma, convalescent COVID plasma, it's called, through LifeServe, where it has helped patients to come out of ICU, come out of ventilator, and even go home. So my request to your audience and to all Iowans is, if you have been exposed to COVID and if you know that you were positive and recovered, congratulations. And second, please consider going to LifeServe and see if you can be donor for the plasma, because your one, the 800 cc's of plasma will help 3 to 4 patients. Hopefully, a couple of them will recover out of that. So it's a great, great service to the humankind in Iowans.
Our guest is Dr. Yogesh Shah, MD. He's also has a master's in public health, chief of staff, medical director at Broadlands Hospital in central Iowa. Let me ask a question about this, Dr. Shah, because we have reports that individuals who may have had COVID-19 and then have apparently gotten over the illness, but then they are reinfected later. We're seeing this reports out of South Korea, China, Singapore. So how do we know if one is, well, built up those antibodies and will be able to withstand another attack?
No, it's a good concern. It's a good problem to discuss as we understand this condition, this virus. And like many viruses and many bacteria, what happens is they tend to change. We call it mutate. So viruses, including this COVID virus, mutates, meaning it makes a tiny, very little change in its structure, in its RNA, but enough that it now is a new virus. Mm. And that's happened in this current virus, COVID virus we know, SARS-CoV-2 virus we know, that between the initial virus in China in Wuhan and now in US, there has been anywhere between 5 to 7 mutation. Mm. We call it European change or New York or in Seattle. So your question is valid. Yes. If I was exposed, I became positive through the PCR testing, through my nasal swab or through now saliva, and I recovered. And after 3 to 5, 6 weeks, now I get similar symptoms or different symptoms and rechecked and it's positive again. So the reason for that is not a large number, but small number of us might get exposed again and might get symptoms because the virus is a newer to my body again. And whatever defense I developed, IgG from my first one, might either not be enough or might not be equal to beat this new virus. So that's why the importance, the significance, and the importance of what we have been talking, the healthcare providers, about being very careful about reopening as we open our society, which we will have to, but being very mindful of how we open. Second, in spite of being open, we will have to still maintain our social distancing at 6 feet. And the reason for that 6 feet is because it's a droplet as well as it goes in the air. And then third, we still have to wear our masks because for both reasons. If I'm carrying that virus by putting a mask, I'm significantly reducing my chance of passing that virus to somebody else. And second, I protect my nose and my mouth from that virus going in my system. So everybody has to use it. If half of Iowans and half don't wear, then it would not help. It will help a little bit, but not as much as what it can. And then we have to continue to wash our hands properly. So as we understand the virus, going back to your question, yes, there is a potential for reinfection, not in a large number, but in a smaller number. We'll have to recheck them. And then meanwhile, we all practice appropriate social distancing, wearing masks, washing hands, and just being mindful of how this new normal would be. The future, the third topic, Michael, would be that what about this vaccine which has come up? So I'm a little hesitant to get too excited about the news and the vaccines, because I know we all want to get and hear some positive, bright light in this. And it is, having vaccine at hand would be great news. The reason I'm hesitant is we have known from our influenza vaccines and influenza viruses that as we get to know this virus and how it changes, our vaccines, what we are making now and today and in near future, will be based on the structure of the virus, what we have now.
Mm-hmm. And if it changes and mutates, then we have another issue, yes?
Yes, yes. So as we just talked about, that if as the virus has tendency to change, because that's the way they survive for years and years, is that as it changes, next year we'll have to have capacity to modify our vaccine to add that new mutation. And that's what we are doing with influenza. And that's why it's not 100% success every time. Some years it works 50, 60% for influenza. Some years it's better than that.
Well, yesterday, Dr. Shah, this week, as a matter of fact, there is a company called Moderna, and their stock went up by 20% because they have indicated in their first round of testing that it was a good vaccine that individuals who were susceptible were able to not get the virus. The problem is it's a first round of testing. From what I read, that's only 20 to 25 people, so it's in the early, early, early stages. But, of course, Wall Street bit on that greatly, and the markets soared. So you're saying that what we should do is perhaps be more patient?
Yes, yeah, both. First of all, I do not have any stock in Moderna, so I don't have any personal commitment to that company. But yeah, vaccine-wise, yeah, as we said, we all have been patient about being in home and shelter for many, many weeks now. So we need something hopeful to get out and live somewhat normal life. It's a good news that they have something, but as you said appropriately, it's a very small number, 20 to 25 people, and they feel there is a response. So what they check, Michael, in any vaccine, as we talked earlier, just like what my body would do, whether to produce enough IgG, the antibodies, as a defense mechanism. And sounds like, I've not read the reports yet, but sounds like that initial very small number, they feel that that response was there. So that's good news. But yes, I would be still hesitant to be too excited. I want to see, first of all, how when more people get it, see how it reaction is there or not. That's one. Second, as more people get it, how much of this response, the defense, the IgG level they built. And then third, what would it take to respond to any future mutation? But overall, yes, this is the direction we need to go. We need to have three, four things. We need to have testing, as many different ways to test as fast as possible. That's one. Two, we need as many different combination of treatment for people, unfortunate people who become severe enough to come to our hospitals. Because nationally, Michael, there are about 12 to 13 different combinations of treatments for people who are sick. So we need to quickly know what's the best combination out of all these different treatments we try. Third is then comes the vaccine, that how quickly we can have vaccine to give it to the masses to prevent any future infection. Unfortunately, just to clarify for our audience, unfortunately, what we hear in the news recently that people might be taking hydroxychloroquine both as a prevention without symptoms or as an early treatment. Unfortunately, from my reading and talking to some of the infectious disease specialists, it's not promoted, it's not recommended. And if anyone from your audience or our listeners decide to take, make sure it's through healthcare provider, because I have heard and I know that it can cause cardiac changes, not a large number, but still there's potential that it can cause cardiac arrhythmias. So make sure you don't do that on your own.
Dr. Yogesh Shah has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, for the past 20 minutes and talking about the science of COVID-19, the response, and what you can do to not only protect yourself, but healthcare workers as well as your family. Dr. Shah, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity and all the best to all of us. And hopefully we get some of these things taken care. But meanwhile, let's continue to practice social distancing, wearing the masks, washing our hands as this is going to be a new normal.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Dr. Shah.
Thank you. Take care.
Once again, Dr. Yogesh Shah, MD. He's the medical director at Broadlawns Hospital in Des Moines, Iowa. And we will have, of course, links to Broadlawns up on our radio blog. And that new news about a new sort of test. We'll include that as well. That's a wrap for this edition of the Business News Headlines. For all of us associated with this project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Dr. Shah, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.